You are listening to Coaching Business Spotlight. Learn how to grow your business and yourself from the most inspiring coaches in the industry today. Your fun and entertaining host, Kat Connect, brings wisdom from her over two decades of success in business. Kat is the author of the best-selling book, Evolve Your Coaching Business, a leader for the Coactive Training Institute, and CEO of Soul Driven Success Business Academy for Coaches. It's time for today's big conversation with Kat.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the Coaching Business Spotlight Show. I'm your host, Kat Connect, and I'm excited to share with you soul-driven strategies to help you succeed in your business and your life. Today, we're going to look at how the profession of coaching works across cultures. My guest today is going to help me explore the topic of coaching. We're going to look at what is the same no matter what culture you live in and what is different. We're also going to look at how she got started as a coach in Korea, her unique status as a translator for the Coaches Training Institute workshops, and other ways she has traversed and created a cross-cultural business success as a coach. My guest is Jun Young Kim. Jun is a productivity and leadership coach based in Korea. She runs a private coaching program called Redesign Productivity, through which she helps women leaders and entrepreneurs cultivate resonant productivity. In addition, she partners with various leadership development firms and leadership circle to cultivate authentic and creative corporate leaders across Asia. She coaches in English and Korean, on, offline, across borders and time zones. And that's why I've invited her on the show today. So welcome to the show, Jun.
Hi, Kat. Thank you so much for having me.
It is so great to have you. I'm really looking forward to really unpacking, kind of exploring your journey and kind of letting our listeners know there's different ways they can go about doing that. So tell me, just what inspired you to become a coach to begin with?
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, I've had a bit of a eclectic career transitions over time, and I've played in the learning and development space, especially as a education go-to-market person. And just before I turned a full-time coach, also I was working as a training consultant in luxury segment. But developing people and educating people were always part of my career path. So I was teaching music, I was teaching English, you know, I was teaching sales and customer experience to the luxury professionals. So it's always been kind of a pillar, but I've always noticed that although I really love being in front of people and lecturing and all that, I felt my biggest impact came from one-on-one engagements.
Ah, so I just want to bring in here for our listeners, because I know a lot of coaches, they have experiences. I mean, you have a lot of experience here, really, really rich. And yet there was something, that's what I'm hearing. There was something that was calling you that was different than what you've been doing, but also, you know, kind of included the things that you've been doing.
Yeah, I think that's where I felt the resonance, we call, right? Although, you know, it's very rewarding to see the group of people progressing, that intimacy and the very close connection that you feel when you're in a one-on-one settings. And when they come to you and say, I was able to change in so-and-so way because of our conversations, or I was able to take a step forward because of the conversations that we had. You know, I was coaching them in a sense when I didn't know I was coaching them. So yeah, I think that was a really big propel. And when it came to a pandemic, I decided to just really invest a lot in coaching studies. That was about 3 years ago. And
wow,
I just never looked back since.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could tell, you know, and I know you, June, so you're in the Soul Driven Success community. So one of the reasons I brought her on here is because I know some of the things that you have been able to create. So you became a coach. I'm kind of curious just a little bit, like, how did you even find coaching, or how did it pop up on your radar?
Well, when I was working as a education go-to-market person for a big global company, part of my job was to make sure that we deliver competitive training contents to the market that was in line with our commercial strategies. And equipping our salespeople with Grow was one of the contents that we were delivering. I didn't really deliver it myself directly, but I kind of got exposed to coaching approach in that indirect manner. Of course, looking back, I really had no idea what grow or coaching was back then.
Right.
And then when I was studying talent development more holistically, I have an international certification in talent development by ATD. And, you know, coaching was one of the pillars. So I got to kind of study what coaching was theoretically. And then, you know, working as a training consultant, more companies demand coaching in their training content, right? So I was implementing what I kind of know theoretically from my own experiences, et cetera, when I was developing content. So I kind of got introduced to coaching in a very slow manner through corporate demands.
Yes.
But I also felt that at the time, what the companies are asking for were very like unrealistic versions of coaching. At least back then, companies were not quite ready to really invest in transforming people. I think that's happening a lot
right.
more nowadays.
Right.
So,
and I'm imagining, knowing you, that was one of the things that inspired you about coaching, was that it was actually about bringing about transformation of the person.
Yeah, I think I wanted to like do it right. Yeah.
That's right. So you have this very unique role for the Co-Active Training Institute. And many people listening to this podcast will know the Co-Active Training Institute. I'm just really curious what that experience is like for you to translate the courses. Like, I've been just like super curious. How does that work for you to actually be able to have to take the words from one language to another, but taking in some of that learning that happens there?
First of all, it's a huge privilege that I'm able to do this. And so when I was going through the Co-Active courses, it was like just on the cusp of the pandemic. So usually the Co-Active partner in Korea, Ms. Suki, she flies in international leaders mm-hmm. because we don't have that many Co-Active leaders in Korea. So she flies them in. And because she couldn't fly them in during the pandemic, we had to connect them like hybrid. So they were on screen. And Suki was leading and things were happening like real time. So
I
we
remember.
Were, yeah. So we were having a translator. And even though I understood the language completely, like having that like misses and gaps in between, it really kind of interfere with my listening and with my attention level. So I felt that it was a really gap that could be filled better. So after I graduated and when Suki asked me to do it, I was like, gladly, because I really feel that, you know, Co-Active program has so much bigger place in this culture. And I really want this program to do well and grow. So at first, I kind of started thinking like, oh, it's going to be a good refresher. But it turned out to be so much more than that.
What would you say is the biggest, like, I don't know. I don't even know the word to use here, learning, or when you say it's so much bigger than that, what do you get to learn yourself or take in because you translate?
Well, I think it's two things, personally, and also as a, somebody who's contributing. So personally, I mean, I get to work directly with the, you know, amazing, phenomenal Co-Active leaders really side by side. So I'm learning not just from the courses, but a lot from the master coaches I work with. And when I say directly, I mean it very figuratively and also literally, because I am sitting like next to them. And then whatever the participants are saying, I whisper them into their ears simultaneously.
Wow.
And I'm actually quite impressed with myself that I could do that without.
I'm curious, what do you notice when you coach? Like, how has that impacted your coaching?
Just being exposed to the Co-Active program so many times, I just get to become fully Co-Active in my own coaching as well. And also, you know, I get to watch a lot of different styles of coaching from these master coaches. So, you know, I feel like even with the same approach that I take, I'm able to really exercise a breadth of range, I guess.
Yes, I would imagine that's quite a range.
And also I become a better teacher, I feel, of coaching. I'm beginning to actually do more training and coaching a little bit here and there. And, you know, the way I explain things, it becomes very flexible. I have more ways of explaining things. So that's really, you know, it's for my own growth. But I think what's really rewarding about this experience is that me being in front of the room alongside the leaders kind of represents, I feel, the gray area of identity for a lot of coaches, because I'm very like mix of culture, mix of influences, and I'm not a typical Korean woman. You know, I'm, you know, very much in the, we call them fourth dimension, somebody from fourth dimension here.
I'm very curious. What does that mean, that fourth dimension?
It's like, you know, Korea is a kind of society that where norm is very important, you know, being normal and fitting into the community. You know, it's traditionally Korean society's values community over individuality. And, you know, working together, coming together is so fundamental as a society and historically in achieving the kind of economic growth that we have achieved in such a short period of time. So thinking together and acting together has been so instrumental. Now this notion is being disintegrated, but still being similar is very important. So being different myself kind of is, I feel like it's a breath of fresh air,
Wow. So I'm really curious, right? Because this is really, there's the cultural difference. That's what you're describing. So Korea, the individual does not come first. Yet in coaching, we are usually coaching the individual. So how does that work? What do you notice when you coach someone from Korea? Like, what's the coaching impact that's different?
Yeah, I feel like that's why coaching still has a lot of room to grow in this culture. It's still quite new and it's definitely growing. And so far, you know, coaching has been pretty dominant in the corporate coaching segment. And a lot of individuals still don't know what coaching is. You know, a lot of coaches don't really bother to think about making a living as life coaches or, you know, change coaches. So, you know, there is a big room, and it is true that there is a lot of invisible, rigid social constructs that most people are kind of embedded with, they're instilled with. So, you know, wanting to change itself is new. Right. And coaching is for people who want to change.
That's right. That's right.
So that itself, the notion itself is very scary, very exciting, and it's being more accepted. So I feel very hopeful. I think there are more young people who experience coaching. I just did free coaching for some university students, and they were like, wow, I can change. It's okay to change.
Oh, that is, you know? Oh my gosh. I'm curious where, when I heard you talking about, I'll put it like this. It sounds like there's some positive things in the Korean culture about thinking of the whole and not the individual. But there's this missing piece that you see where the individuals can make personal changes. I'm kind of like, where do you see those two things going together?
I kind of see it as Korean people being very dynamic. You know, we are very forward and progress driven people. You know, we want to do things very well. And we want to become better, like collectively. I think that's really the strength of Korean people. And quality is very important. So, you know, people don't really want to, can I say this? People don't really want to half-ass in anything.
You can say it.
So, you know, there is a tremendous sense of like excellence. And, you know, you do that collectively. So on that journey, I think also there is some compensation happening. Because, you know, we drive results, we drive progress. And so in that process, there's a lot of like black and white thinking and a lot of like tremendous sense of responsibility. Like, I gotta get this done. I have to do my responsibility and I'm not worthy if I cannot play this role. You know, so it's kind of things that you see in other cultures as well. But I think it's kind of heightened by the histories and our own narrative, cultural narrative.
Yeah, that's what I'm so curious about. And if when you coach people in other cultures, what do you notice? So in for Korean people, there's this drive. That's the word I use. There's this do it really, really well. And I want to, I don't know. I'm just curious if you coach somebody from another culture, what's different?
You know what? That's actually a really good point of convergence and divergence at the same time, because if you put it that way in the coaching context, I feel like it's kind of the same. You know, because coaching happens under the premise that we are here for a purpose, that we are working toward a goal, right? So once you actually like buy into that condition, you know, and I think it really depends on, you know, the person's readiness and the willingness And I think that kind of stuff is global, not just Korean. I don't think that some Korean people can come in and just progress leaps and bounds. And then, you know, some people from other cultures that's supposed to be more open and progressive could come into the coaching sessions and they might be quite close to possibilities. So I feel like this coaching space is quite sacred and neutral in that sense.
Yeah, that's what I've been curious about. I agree. I mean, that is the premise. This is what I have loved about my career and working for the Coactive Training Institute, because there are people from all over the world who come to these courses and there's some common experience that they all have. Just what you're talking about. Yeah. Everybody has something they want. They have desires. There's something they're aiming for. If they come to coaching, especially, there's something that change that they're wanting. But then yeah. I got curious about, because I've coached people of different cultures, and I do notice not the individual difference so much as you're talking about, but I do notice there's a difference in kind of where my clients get trapped or blocked, or depending on what culture they come from, kind of what they've been taught. You know, you were saying this earlier, what's right or wrong and what's going to be okay. And I have to be aware of that. Because I have to realize, well, that wouldn't bother me at all, because in my culture, that's a fine thing to do. So I can just skip my way into that.
I think on that note, I think it's kind of fair to point out that perhaps I do experience a lot of self-limiting beliefs that are quite rigid around gender roles. Korea is a society with a very, very specific gender roles, and hierarchy is very, very important here. So there's a lot of cultural shoulds.
Yes.
What you should be, you know, how you should be as a woman. I'm very passionate about coaching women is because, you know, we women are big doers, and across the cultures, we do a lot of things, you know, taking care of children, working, and we get things done. But I think there is a tremendous sense of guilt and shame that are associated with not playing that part. So if you're a woman and if you're unmarried and if you're working too hard in Korea, you know, you are kind of looked upon, your ass, like, how come you're not dating? You know, what's going on? And you're married and you don't have children. It's not really fitting into that norm again.
Right.
So I think feel like there is maybe thicker layers of these beliefs that could be kind of transcendental, but maybe it carries extra weight in certain contexts.
And just as a guidance for other coaches, do you address that with your clients? Is that a part of the coaching that you do? Let's look at the cultural limiting beliefs. Let's look at like what you're coming in with.
Oh yeah, for sure. I specifically talk about this with women and say, hey, are you aware that Korea is very thick with gender bias, right? And then when I talk about this, when I bring it up, they 100% know what I'm talking about because they all feel and experience this. And they are happy that somebody kind of articulate the kind of invisible stress they have been feeling. So I feel like, you know, these things just need to be talked about more. And, you know, coaching conversations are a safe place to address these things. And, you know, as coactive coaches, we are supposed to approach with whole person view, right? So it's not just their work that's gonna have to be addressed. You know, it's who you are and your life and all the other aspects of life that are influencing and affecting each other. So I feel it's integral to talk about these things as long as the client is open.
Yeah. So there are three points that you've made that I want to underline. Most of the people listening to this are coaches. So I think this is a really important piece that we address the culture that the people that we're coaching live in and find out, get curious about it. There's also a piece here. I think as coaches, there is a permission. Like you said, if the clients are open, most people love to be seen and heard. And what I heard you just saying is you name that for them. Here's what's happening in this culture. Here's a way that we've been treated or the experience that we're having. But there's something else you said that got me very excited. This is why I do what I do. Helping coaches build their business, because I actually think this is what will bring about the change all around the world that we are looking for. I actually think so. I don't think it's going to come from wars or, you know, from some big political agenda.
Yeah.
I think it's just what you're talking about, June. And you say it so well. I think it's when we can really get at that personal level so people can make those personal changes. And then how I see it is those personal changes bring about the change in the culture.
Yeah, I think this conversation is also very inspirational to me as well, because now I'm reminded of what I have set out to do, which is you start small. I always feel like, you know, you have to walk the talk as a coach, and then it starts with people around you and who you're talking to. You know, you don't have to lead an entire movement, although that would be nice. Maybe someday it'll come. But, you know, right now I start with my own mom. I start with my clients, and having a very genuine and open and honest conversations that really matter to them. And I feel like one ripple, you know, can really create a wave. I really believe in that.
I love what you're saying. It'd be great to have a movement. I think a lot of us feel that way. Like, let's take on the world. But getting down to the nitty gritty, thinking about what actually helps coaches succeed in their business and what helps bring this change about, you really articulated well. It's you got to start small. You got to start small. You got to start with the people around you and the clients that you have. And something will build from there. So thinking about that, I want to just tap into what you have experienced. So 3 years, what would be some tips you would give coaches on? You just gave one about start small, about, you know, maybe dialing in those expectations. But what else? What would you say has really helped you to succeed?
Man, there are lots of different things, but I would say, I think for coaches, it's harder to commit to coaching as a profession. I experienced that myself. I think all of us have experienced that. But, you know, if you think about it, you know, you get a job, and even if you actually don't really feel like you know what you're doing and you're quite new at it, you know, you get hired by a company as a sales representative, for example, and then you have no choice but to give yourself 110%. You just put your back into it. You know, you just do it, right? And you try to do well.
So I hear you saying you've got to put yourself all in. You got to commit. You just got to commit to it all the way.
Yeah, I think if you have an inkling of idea that you will one day become a professional coach, or you want to, then I think the commitment just needs to be there. And then everything else needs to come into place, like hiring perhaps a mentor, or maybe becoming more business savvy and, you know, learning about entrepreneurship. And that's another big piece. You know, if you are committing, then you have to consider yourself to be an entrepreneur. I think there is no other way around it. And it took me a while.
Which way you go, even if it's executive coaching or organizations, you still have to put your career together, right?
Yeah. I don't think it's just specific to coaches. I think any freelancers need to stop thinking that they're freelancers and start thinking like they're entrepreneurs, you know? So I think it's applicable to all the different industries. It's a very different mindset when you're operating as a freelancer as opposed to your business owner. But I think, you know, the latter is going to give you a lot more excitement and joy and abundance if you're thinking of this as a career. But I think everything starts from the commitment.
Yeah. I also know this about you, and I certainly heard it today on the show, is your passion. So there's the commitment saying, yes, I'm in on this career. I'm committing to it as an entrepreneur. And what about the passion piece? Because you have held on to this passion about women and what you're bringing to them. And what would you say to coaches about the passion piece?
It's definitely a must. It's an inevitable must. But I feel that a lot of coaches do feel that passion. As they study coaching and as they become better at coaching, the passion grows in them. I think it's just the nature of what coaching does. It's the magic of it. That when you see people change for the better, and that, you know, you're able to contribute to that process, it's such a magical, beautiful thing, you know? So I think the passion can grow. You could have many passions. I have many passions. I'm a generalist and I hoard hobbies. So I'm passionate about many things, but it's like, what do you want to make a living? And what would you want to spend your time, majority of your time and energy on?
So what I'm hearing with that is there's an impact, like deciding what's the impact you really want to have.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, right. That's big. That's what I feel is important. We kind of nail down three things, you know, choose a profession, make a commitment, and then decide what is the impact. There might be 10 different things, but really narrowing it down and deciding this is the thing I most want to influence the world with and help people with. and yeah. bring that change about?
I think this is where the vision and your life purpose pieces come into. My life purpose is to help people ride the waves of life with joy and resilience. And I feel like I'm a surfer who yeah. facilitates that. So I have that kind of greater kind of purpose. But with my coaching, I'm particularly purposeful in helping women become free from operating in this mindless autopilot mode and start prioritizing their time and energy on things that bring them joy without compromising their life and business goals. So, you know, I have a smaller purpose that's kind of getting me up and running. And, you know, I do a lot of other kind of coaching, but this is sort of my brainchild that I want to grow right. and foster in right. the long term.
And I'm going to need to wrap this up. It's such a great conversation. But what I'm hearing from you that I want the listeners to get is that you found a way to connect your passion to business success. It's like, here's the bigger thing. I could do it anywhere. Now, here's how it's going to work as a coach. And you have held on to that passion. And it's beautiful to see. And it's been so much fun talking to you today, June. Thank you for joining us on this show.
Thank you so much, Kat, for having me. It's been a great privilege. Thank you so much.
So much fun. Thank you for tuning in to another insightful episode of the Coaching Business Spotlight. What are you taking away with you today that you will put into action right now? Connect with us on both Facebook and LinkedIn and let me know. I also love to hear your questions and suggestions for upcoming shows. To keep inspired on your journey, make sure to visit our website at souldrivensuccess.com. And subscribe to our podcast so we can continue to accompany you on your journey to success. Until our next episode, take care, and we'll catch you in our next conversation. Stay inspired.